Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big weekend coming up. We got Vanderbilt taking on LSU. We got Tennessee, Alabama. We got the Titans and the Patriots. Lots going on around here on the football front. We will have Eric Kane from VolQuest joining us at 7:30. We'll get into Tennessee and Alabama with him. Teron Davenport will join us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, looking ahead to the Titans and the Patriots. Joe, is tomorrow's game for Vanderbilt against LSU the biggest game in program history?
I believe it is. I believe it is. And I understand, I think we had some kind of similar conversation a few weeks ago against Alabama, but that was – the Alabama game, there was cushion, right? This is, for a few reasons, this is bigger. One is that they lost that game. So, after Saturday, as of, 2:30 or so on Saturday afternoon, Vanderbilt is either going to be, I don't know, do they need more valid? I mean, they've won good games. They've proven to be a good team. The Alabama score, if you watch the game, you understand. They went in there and they hung right there with Alabama on Alabama's home field. But there's still a difference in that, in the validation of beating a top 10 team, right?
Yes.
And so it's a home game. That's one thing. I know people don't talk as much about the, unless you really are into recruiting, but it is a massive visitor weekend for recruiting. I mean, it still matters. Indiana right now with Kurt Cignetti, who now is making 11-6 on his new deal, number 3, highest paid coach in college football, not going anywhere. Sorry, Penn State. I mean, look, they are seeing Indiana's 4- and 5-star dudes are showing up, recruits, that never happened before.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt has got some massive, massive visitors. That's still, to me, secondary, but it's just another part of it. It's a home weekend. And I can't wait to see what the crowd looks like. That's really going to be interesting, because it's just like with the Patriots fans we just talked about. The LSU fans, you think they look at this yep, there's our road trip. We got a when was the last time LSU even played here? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So they're going to show up. They will be there. There will be a strong LSU presence. But how much will Vanderbilt be able to hold that out of there? I mean, I still think it's going to be a home atmosphere, and it's just a huge opportunity to showcase all of that. And again, if you win this game, you are validated. You are absolutely in the thing. You're in it. Now, you can always lose. There's a bunch of tough games after this and stuff, but you are in it. If you lose this game as of 2:30 Saturday, then look, you can still have a really good season and all that, but no one is going to mention that. They will not spare a breath on this team being a playoff team. It's not realistic. You have to win this game. You have to win this game for that to be realistic. Now, someone can argue with me. I think someone on the text line is it's the biggest in 80 years or whatever. Yeah, JC, biggest in 80 years. Okay. So, so we're talking World War II now. I mean, it's just, the stakes of college football is just different, It's just how it is. They had their heyday 100 years ago. Dan McGugin, they had great teams. They never had a national championship. They had great teams. But you can get into the tournament to compete for a national championship now, and you're Vanderbilt now. It's mind-boggling. And if you win this game, you have to take it very, very seriously.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I don't know how good LSU is. Right? That's the other part of this is, there's a reason Vanderbilt's favoring the game, right? It's not just because they're at home. LSU, you look at them and it's they got dudes all over the roster. They got a quarterback that before the season everybody thought was going to be in the mix for being the number one quarterback taken in the draft. And they just haven't looked all that good, especially offensively this year. They scored 56 points against Southeast Louisiana. And other than that, it's been 17 against Clemson, 23 against Louisiana Tech, 20 against Florida, 19 Ole Miss, 20 South Carolina. They haven't been very good offensively. So, defensively, they look like they're much improved from where they were, because where they were was horrific.
They're very good defensively
under LSU. But offensively, they've been bad all year. So what's that going to mean for this game tomorrow? I have no idea how good LSU is.
Yeah.
They don't look very good offensively.
Right. And I do. I think they may be a little bit of a fraud, you know, just because of the offense. But I also still – I still think that Garrett Nussmeier, he's made some mistakes, and sometimes I think he just gets outside himself a little bit. I still think he's as viable as, like, the number one pick in this next draft as any quarterback out there. Like, I mean – maybe Mendoza from Indiana. Who knows? I mean, Carson Beck is helping himself a lot, but I still think that he has all the elements to be that guy. So, also, you know, Jason Goodsville points out, well, if they beat LSU, that sets up the next biggest game ever in a row. And then, yes, I understand that, but like Missouri, Auburn, but LSU is still different. I mean, LSU is different. That, like, that's a red letter program in the SEC. That's a national championship program. I mean, Vanderbilt. Cole Kubrick tweeted this out. Vanderbilt has played 77 games against top 10 opponents since 1978. This is the first time they're going to be favored.
Yeah.
It's the first time they're favored against LSU since 1948. you know, it's like, again, we were kind of stunned by that. And you do wonder if, like, all the talk of that ends up being not great for them. You know, not that LSU has any excuse at all for overlooking this game or leaning on old tropes about Vanderbilt football, but I'm just saying maybe it hurts them. I mean, first time against LSU since 48, first time against a top 10 team, I guess at least since 78, right? Were they even favored in 78 against top 10? I'm not even clear on that. But, like, again, this is just – they're never favored against SEC teams. I think this is 51 games in a row since they've been favored over an SEC team. I mean, it's like, you know, this is just totally different territory. And so because it's at home, again, I just think that's a huge, huge deal. Can you win a game at home with all the recruits there, with a packed house, with, I think, you know, more of a home crowd? I expect a big LSU crowd too. ABC, feature game, like these things don't happen to Vanderbilt. And if you win that, again, they could always lose one of these games coming up, and then it goes. But if you win that, now everyone has to take you seriously as a team that can get in the tournament.
By the way, what a triple header for ABC tomorrow. All on ABC. LSU Vanderbilt at 11. Ole Miss Georgia at 2:30. Tennessee Alabama at 6:30.
Oh.
That's a pretty good trio for ABC.
Well, it is, and you bring that up, and Awful Announcing did a good story on this, but the SEC is kicking the crap out of the Big Ten in the ratings right now.
Yeah, CBS has got to feel like absolute morons.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things is, you know, the SEC has, like, it's all together. That's part of ratings. You know, it's like if you have it all on the same channel, you know, and you build momentum, you kind of keep people there, you keep bars there, right?
Yeah.
Like, whereas the Big Ten, they have CBS, they got Fox, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
So, like, the Oregon-Indiana game last week got destroyed by, like, Auburn-Georgia and and other SEC game. Like, Texas-Oklahoma destroyed it. Even though Oregon-Indiana was a much bigger game. But some of that is because people still are like, Indiana football? Really?
Yeah.
You want to watch Indiana football? But, no, the SEC has got it rolling with their TV
situation.
That's
a great triple header.
That's a fantastic triple. And, again, we're saying that seriously, and part of the triple header is Vanderbilt football.
Exactly.
So it's huge. I mean, I can't wait for the game and just to see the place and what it looks like, because that's part of it too. I mean, you know, you lose a heartbreaker or lose a close game. It's, you know, again, the trajectory of the season is like back to, okay, let's see how good of a season you can have, and it's still a really good season for Vanderbilt football. But it's still, like, I think that atmosphere can sell itself. And, again, they're trying to be, like, in the city of Nashville, if you're visiting or whatever, like, this is a viable entertainment option for someone. And I think they're making huge strides in that way. But you win a game like this and – be a big, big deal.
Interested to see Pavia tomorrow. Like, the last time we saw him against Bama, made a couple of big mistakes in the game that ended up, I mean, you could argue whether or not they were the difference in the game, but there's certainly a difference in the game of the two turnovers in the red zone. I mean, as you mentioned, LSU's defense is a whole lot better this year than they've been under Brian Kelly. Can Pavia make some big plays at key times tomorrow? It's going to be really interesting to see if he's got that in him tomorrow against that defense and that team.
Yeah, it's very good defense. Very, very good defense. No question about it. They're very fast. They get a quarterback. Obviously, you know, this scheme is a little different than some of what they've been seeing, and you hope that if you're Vanderbilt, you hope that keeps him off balance a little bit. But, yeah, he's going to have to be – I mean, he's going to have to get the ball out fast when it is, like, straight drop-back stuff, and they're going to move him around a lot, and they got to find a way with what they do to run the ball and keep the ball some. I mean, it's going to be a really tough matchup for them. Ed says, if Vandy wins, does a Tennessee win help or hurt Vanderbilt?
I guess just in terms of that setting up another quality win opportunity for you later in the year?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, if Tennessee is a huge win late, to me, like, if Vanderbilt with their schedule, I don't think it matters, Ed. If Vanderbilt with their schedule ends up 10-2, they are 100% in. If Vanderbilt with their schedule ends up 9-3, you'd have to have a lot of carnage out there to have a chance. I think we're going to see that some in college football in certain years, but I think it's pretty simple. Like, you can lose one more game.
Yeah.
And if you lose one of all these games, it doesn't matter. I mean, I guess if you lose to Kentucky, that'd be the worst, but that also means you're winning all these other.
Right.
I mean, after watching Texas last week, I mean,
Arch looked good last week.
Arch looked good, but their defense is like, they got dudes everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one on the road. That, to me, would be the one mulligan that I would probably be, if I was Vanderbilt, expecting to take. If you can win the other ones. Tomorrow's a huge one. And if you do and you get that mulligan, then you're going to Knoxville with a chance.
On the flip side, I would argue Tennessee has to win tomorrow if they want to get in the college football playoff. Because if they go 10-2, you're going to be looking at their schedule at the end of the year, and you're going to be like, I guess their best win is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma, by the way, just lost to Texas. And Oklahoma, I think, has got a few more losses coming up.
Yeah, so that's an easy rooting interest.
Right.
Like, if you're Tennessee, Oklahoma to do.
You need Oklahoma to be good.
All the other games, yeah, for sure, because you need that game to. But I also say, if you're Tennessee right now, you're also rooting hard for Vandy. Because
yes.
Because if you get a 2 or 3 loss Vandy coming at the end and you beat them and look good doing it, that matters.
Yes. But Tennessee's clearest path to the college football playoff, beat Alabama tomorrow and you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, then you're going to be feeling real good about it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I mean, looking at it, it is a great weekend of college football. It is a great week, not even just here locally, and it is here locally. Great weekend of college football. We'll take your thoughts on the Vanderbilt-LSU matchup. Tennessee heading to Alabama to take on the Tide. We got Eric Kane coming up at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, the Commanders taking on the Cowboys at 3:25 on 94.9 The Fan. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Big college football weekend coming up around here. Vanderbilt taking on LSU, Tennessee taking on Alabama. Eric Kane from VolQuest will join us here in just a few minutes at 7:30 to look ahead to the Vols and Alabama coming up. If Vanderbilt gets this win, number one, by the way, and I know that Vanderbilt fans don't care about this at the moment, but you would be bowl eligible at that time. I mean, there's win number six.
That's what we were talking about in the year. Like, this schedule, man, a bowl would be good. That'd be a good job.
Well, if you win tomorrow, you've done it, and you're 6-1. At that point, that is secondary at the moment, but it is kind of amazing to think back at the preseason win total over under for Vanderbilt was 4.5, and here they are.
I mean, they're gonna,
maybe going to get 6 wins by mid-October.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to get. I'd be surprised if they don't get to 8. I think 8's a good. Yeah, they could end up with like 7, right? But I think they're going to get to 8, and who knows? I'm not even going to put a cap on them. I do have this question. If you have this answer, Robbie, you go ahead and spit it out. What if Tennessee wins tomorrow, then Bama, Georgia, and Tennessee win out, then LSU hands A&M their only loss? Who goes to the SEC championship? I mean, come on. Math is not part of this. That's 4 eligible teams. I don't know. It's all the tiebreakers, man.
Yeah,
I don't
know. A lot.
But I promise formula. You know, some of those teams, and that would be like, I mean, depending on like the safeness of certain teams, be like, you know what? You can send them to Atlanta. We'll rest up a little bit. Ole Miss, that is a biggie at Georgia. I'm very intrigued by Ole Miss. The way those teams have both looked, although Ole Miss hasn't been consistent either, but I could totally see Ole Miss going in there and beating them. I wouldn't pick it, but I could see it.
This feels like a
Kirby kick his butt. Yeah,
this feels like a classic Lane
Kirby
Kiffin
Kirby stomping.
Game. Yep.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
Now, I say that. I mean, Georgia, this is not the same Georgia.
No.
Like, they're good, but they're not. Their defense is not good. Like, their defense is okay at best. And Gunnar Stockton can make some plays and they can run the ball. But it's not like it's some overwhelming Georgia. But, I mean, it's Georgia at home. You know, Georgia went 33 games in a row at home without losing, and then they lost to Alabama. I got doubts that they're going to lose two in a row at home. That's just me. I mean, Ole Miss has got at Georgia and at Oklahoma the next 2 weeks. So we're going to find out a whole lot about Ole Miss next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, and, you know, Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, they did. They messed around there. They messed around way too much with Washington State. So,
yeah, and look, I mean, Ole Miss, they got a 41-35 win against Arkansas prior to Sam Pittman being fired.
Aided by a late Arkansas fumble.
They beat, you know, half-decent Tulane team, 45-10. That's a good win.
Mm-hmm.
They beat LSU. But again, like LSU, I have no idea how good LSU is. Like everybody made – LSU got shot up to begin the year because they beat Clemson on the road because everybody thought Clemson was good.
Yeah.
And we've come to find out that Clemson's not any good. So I have no idea how good this LSU team is.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. It's amazing to say it, but it's true. Like we're going to find out a lot about LSU tomorrow in this game against Vanderbilt.
Yes.
It's things you're just not used to saying ever that we say now in this college football season,
yeah,
which is pretty fun.
It's very fun. And on the other side, Tennessee and Alabama, it's a big Joey Aguilar game tomorrow. He's been, you know, obviously fantastic to this point and has played better than anybody probably could have hoped this year. I mean, the offense in general has been good. You're walking into a hostile environment tomorrow against a quarterback on the other side who's playing as well as anybody in the country right now in Ty Simpson. Like he's a good player. So can Joey Aguilar make some big plays on the road in a hostile environment tomorrow to keep his team in the game? Like I was listening to A.J. McCarron on his little podcast talk about this game, and he's nervous. Like he's like, I got all the respect in the world for Heupel. I think this offense is a big problem and all these things. I'm very interested to see how it goes. The line's 8.5. We're going to get into that. I think it's a really interesting line. Early in the week, it opened at 9.5, and then I think by like Monday afternoon, it had gotten down to 7.5. So the money was coming in heavy on Tennessee, and now it's gone back to 8.5. So it's kind of settled at 8.5 here. It's a very interesting line heading into this game.
What makes you more nervous? The money's coming on Tennessee, or the money's going away from Tennessee?
It depends on what day it is. I would say on Tennessee. Makes me more nervous.
Yeah, but see, when it's going away, then sometimes you're like, uh-oh, who got hurt or something, right? It's interesting. I mean,
still look at the matchup for Tennessee's defense, particularly their secondary, and I just – Alabama's going to score some points. They're going to get into the – I'll be very surprised if Alabama doesn't get into the mid-30s.
Are we worried about Aguilar turnovers? I'm a little bit worried about them. I'm worried about, like, a bad pick at a bad time.
Well, if you have that, then you're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going into the year, but I get less worried about them as go, right? I mean,
he's maybe one or two bad picks, yeah, but that's about it.
Most of his turnovers so far have come basically off of the hands of Myles Kitzelman, really. I mean, when you really look at it, it's been deflected up in the air by Myles Kitzelman.
Thanks, Myles.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Some of them have been, you know, high and hot, as I like to call them. Too high, and it's coming in fast. Yeah. And that's how you get, you know, that's how you get tip balls and deflections and turnovers. So it's not like he has no role in those turnovers, but he hasn't thrown very many this year where it's just like, well, that was an egregious decision.
No,
yeah,
not at all. So he's going to have to be very clean, obviously, tomorrow. You know, with Tennessee's defense, to me, it's like stop the run. First of all, do not let them run at will. Stop.
And by the
run.
Way, Jam Miller's going to play. So,
and he's very good, but I. This Tennessee defense, I think, has a better performance in it. And also, look, they do get after the passer. They do force turnovers. Ty Simpson can be vulnerable. You know, Caden Proctor, he's this amazing athlete. He's going to go high in the draft. I'll give him the ball, that stuff. Also, like, he's not a perfect pass protector. Like, they've had some pass protection issues at times.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, is you got to make some, and that's kind of been the formula for Tennessee. You got to make some game-changing plays on defense, even if you're not consistently dominated. But don't get yourself consistently dominated and let them run and just do whatever they want.
Well, and look, you know, there's Tennessee has some good pass rushers. You know, Josh Joseph's a really good player. Caleb Herring has come on this year as a pass rusher. But I saw James Foster point this out the other day. Like, the one that's really turning heads right on, Jordan Ross is, I mean, he's a five-star guy. He's really good, and he is turning into a really good player. So, between those three guys in particular coming off the edge, Joseph, Herring, and Ross,
some like, dudes.
Can you get after Ty Simpson a little bit in this game?
Vanderbilt did. I mean, Vanderbilt was, you know, especially, again, once they got the lead in the second half, and, you know, especially once Pavia threw that pick, I mean, they just were able to run the ball. Vanderbilt was tired.
Yeah.
But for three quarters of that game, Vanderbilt up front was giving Bama enough trouble defensively, right? That's why it was a nip and tuck one score game. And Tennessee has more talent than Vanderbilt up front.
Eric Kane will join us coming up next from VolQuest. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup for Tennessee against Alabama. We got the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Massive one tomorrow between Tennessee and Alabama. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Eric Kane from VolQuest.com and the Locked On Vols podcast. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, man. Looking forward to a really, really fun, hopefully fun weekend of college football.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Really much, really just awesome games all across the board. So, Eric, let me start here with you. I have really no idea what to make of Tennessee's defense right now because they're getting gashed in the running game. Their third down defense against Arkansas last week was abysmal. And the moment I start to get mad about it and complain about it, they'll force a turnover or they'll come up with a huge sack. And I have no idea what to make of this defense right now heading into this matchup against Alabama. What do you make of it? What have you thought of what you've seen defensively from the Vols?
Yeah, it's a bit all over the map, and I certainly understand the frustrations, you know, from fans watching and you know, people that cover this team. You got a defense that's among the nation leaders in sacks, TFLs, defensive touchdowns, turnovers forced. I'm talking about being elite in those categories. And then the bad part about that is, you know, pass defense ranks towards the bottom of the SEC and, you know, really in the country. Rush defense has not been where it needs to be. Third down defense, specifically third and long, third and seven and more against Power Four opponents, the numbers are not good. And the numbers were not good against Arkansas, as you pointed out last week. So it's very frustrating. I think through six games, you kind of are who you are. And, you know, injuries have played a role into that. You've been down your two starting cornerbacks, two really good cornerbacks all year long. And I do think that's unfortunate. You're having to play some youth in some areas. But at the end of the day, they're just not, especially rush defense, they're just not, you know, setting the edge, containing. They've missed too many tackles, bad angles from the second, third layer, and, you know, down in distance, not being aware of the situation. And that's problematic, in my opinion, you know, heading into the seventh game. So I think at this point in time, you kind of are who you are. It's a defense that's going to give up a lot, but as you pointed out, it's a defense that's going to create very opportunistic, and you hope in a game like this against Alabama, those sacks, those potential forced takeaways, turnovers, come at big times to where you can sway the momentum of the game.
Is it possible that you played Mississippi State and they run basically the same offense? Obviously, that is a tough offense with the numbers against the run, as anybody who watches Tennessee's offense the last few years knows. Then you throw in Arkansas, Talon Green, and all the challenges he gives you, all the attention you have to give him, that this, I guess, a little bit more traditional kind of running game could suit the Vols better, Eric. Is scheme maybe a little bit better for them this year? And obviously we know the receivers and the way Ty Simpson's playing, but just so that they can maybe be a little bit more solid against the run.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point with what Mississippi State runs offensively, what Talon Green presents and some of the challenges in the run game for Arkansas. But Mike Washington still had a really good game for them. And You know, his first carry was for 36 yards, and so that's, you know, not very good. So, you know, Jam Miller, I think he was listed on the injury report as probable. It feels like he's kind of been trending to play after leaving last week's game with a concussion. So that's going to be, you know, he's their best guy in the backfield. But they haven't been able to consistently run the football. So I'll be interested to see if Tennessee's, you know, run defense can, you know, kind of look back to normal, back to what it was last year. It's never going to be elite in that category, but you hope that they can have a better game in terms of slowing things down. The issue in this game for me is what Ty Simpson presents down the field. And you know, that offensive line for Alabama has not been great. They've allowed 13 sacks, 4 sacks in each of the last 2 games, but that hasn't slowed Ty Simpson down. He's, you know, averaging over 300 yards through the air a game. He's not turning the football over. He's only thrown 1 pick this year. He attacks the middle of the field, and Tennessee's defense, not very good at defending the pass over the middle, the linebacker position and the safety position. So that's going to be that's going to be problematic, in my opinion, for Tennessee's defense. But you do hope they have a better day against a more traditional style of run game, which, again, Alabama's been very inconsistent in that regard offensively.
So, Eric, I mean, we don't need to relitigate last year, but, you know, thinking back to the first half, there were, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 plays Tennessee had down the field that they just absolutely missed on against Alabama and hit on some of them in the second half. How do you feel about Tennessee's offense and particularly Tennessee's group of receivers in this game against a good Alabama secondary, that there are plays to be had for them down the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be confident, right? And this is one of those individual matchups I'm so excited to watch, kind of like get your popcorn ready, right? Both wide receiver units have been fantastic. I mean, you know, Alabama's legit got a couple of guys who I think is going to be playing on Sundays. And Tennessee, you know, right now as well, certainly with Chris Braswell, who is probably looking for a nice bounce-back game after Arkansas really tried to take him out of the game plan, and they did a good job in that regard. But you got Tennessee's offense that's explosive through the air, what Joey Aguilar has done this season, what Tennessee's receivers have done. And then you have a secondary for Alabama. You know, Bray Hubbard at safety, he's got 3 interceptions. That leads the SEC. I think as a unit, they're giving up only about 135 yards through the air, which is, you know, second best in the conference. So that's going to be a really good matchup. But I feel like, you know, as if you're a Tennessee fan, you can't have anything but confidence in the offense right now. And, you know, sure, like even on a bad day, I mean, Tennessee's offense, I wouldn't say played exceptionally well against Arkansas, didn't take advantage of those takeaways the defense created for them, but you still scored 34 points. Didn't play particularly well on the road at Mississippi State, but when you had to have a touchdown to tie that game late in the fourth quarter, Tennessee marched right down the field and got a touchdown. So with a couple of big, big plays through the air, including a Chris Braswell reception on fourth down. So I think you got to have confidence there, but that should be, in my opinion, probably the best matchup in this game is Tennessee's passing attack against a stingy Alabama pass defense, and I'm excited to see what it looks like.
As you look at the landscape here, Eric, we were talking about this previous segment, this game, you look at the rest of Tennessee's schedule and the opportunities for wins that will help you. I mean, obviously this game was going to be critical either way, but how important do you think this is just in terms of having a huge quality win and then maybe being a little bit light on them if you can't get this one? Obviously, you're hoping for Oklahoma to be as good as possible and that Tennessee can beat them at home.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, you look at down the line, if you were to lose this game and say you run the table, right, 10-2 with wins over what you hope is a pretty good Oklahoma team as John Mateer gets healthier every week, and you really hope that Vanderbilt continues to win. I know Vanderbilt's got a big matchup this week, favorite against LSU, and so you hope Vanderbilt continues to win. And say you win that game, I mean, that'd be 2 ranked wins. And, you know, we'll see how Florida finishes the year. It's always a challenging place to play for Tennessee. But, you know, it's possible, certainly. I mean, the season's not over if you lose. But, boy, you're really helping yourself out in a massive way because Alabama, I mean, it's already got a win over Georgia on the road. It's already got a win over Vanderbilt. It's already got a win over Missouri on the road. And that's another storyline in this game. 4th straight game against a ranked SEC opponent.
Yeah,
they've done a phenomenal job. Won 5 straight, won 3 straight in that category. You know, how much juice is left in the tank? I'm sure there's plenty left, but I think that's an underlying storyline in this game. But if you win this football game for Tennessee, this is kind of that, you know, you carry that card around the rest of the way. Hey, we beat Alabama. We beat Alabama. That's going to prop you up. That's what propped Tennessee up last year, despite Alabama not even making the playoff. Alabama was still viewed by all the committee members and those that kind of preview the selection show as being a really, really good win. So this would be a huge win in terms of college football playoff implications for Tennessee, and you got to take advantage.
Eric, what's your read on Boo Carter right now? I mean, we all know the stuff off the field heading into the year and the drama that was there. He's been out there, and you know, every now and then you return a punt, and it's like, wow. I mean, look at him out there. He'll make a play defensively. I do think that he's left a lot to be desired defensively so far this year in terms of just straight-up coverage. So where do you think he is right now mentally? How do you think he's played to this point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I don't want to speak for him. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not on the coaching staff. But, I mean, just like you and I, you know, we watch the same game, right? And I would agree with you. I think that he has been not very good, you know, defensively in terms of defending the pass. I think he's led too many guys inside. At points in times, I think he's looked lost in coverage. He's been a step too slow. And really, the way he impacts games is in the punt return game. And Tennessee hadn't been forcing a lot of punts in SEC play, so that's been kind of unfortunate. So, you know, he did have some off-the-field issues. He kind of went through fall camp kind of on a, you know, quote-unquote probation period in terms of, we'll let you do this, but you got to sit out this scrimmage. All that. But I mean, he's been playing, but he certainly has not had the season that he envisioned, and he's not had the season that Tennessee's coaching staff envisioned as well. So he's flashed. I think he played six pretty good quarters against, you know, that UAB on in the Mississippi State swing, to where he looked pretty good. But overall, I think that there's another level there for Boo Carter. And you know, hey, you come out and you play to that level, man, that's only going to help. And he's certainly a good football player. But this has not been the season that he's envisioned. And if you're Tennessee's, you know, Tim Banks, Willie Martinez, you hope that that extra level is reached at some point this year, and no better time than now on the road at Alabama.
Will we see Jermaine McCoy play anymore for Tennessee football?
It's a good question. I think that he obviously wants to. I think he's working to get to that point. I think that he's a guy that's a super competitor, and he doesn't want his Tennessee career to end, you know, this way. But obviously you got to look at what's coming up for him in the NFL draft. He's been mocked as a first-round draft pick and all that. I think he's certainly trying to get back on the field for Tennessee. Will he eventually? I don't know. I think he's got to be able to do, you know, good on good, 11-on-11, those team periods in practice before it becomes a real distinct possibility, and he's not at that point just yet. Will that happen next week? We'll see. I'm certainly not ruling it out, but until he gets on the practice field and does more in those team periods, then I don't think that we can really look at it as a possibility.
Eric, going to be an awesome weekend. Anytime Tennessee and Alabama get together, it's a lot of fun. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Yep, Eric Kane from VolQuest, our guest here on the program. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. TD with us at 8 o'clock to look ahead to the Titans and the Patriots. Pickskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. And boy, we were bad last week. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, welcome to Tennessee.
This setup to me is better. You know, at least I just, when you ask a question, I want to be able to look you in the eye and answer the question. Not everybody at one time.
What's the next? Who is the next question?
You're such a dumbass, Kaharski.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
So if you ever want to think how I'm thinking, just think the opposite.
Vrabel leaving the field here stained in blood.
I don't always watch you.
Yeah, you do. That's a lie.
How far up his ass are you, Paul?
Kick my ass. Enjoy. Come on.
Can you just talk about Cunningham's skill set a little bit and what, you know, what the reason was?
This is ridiculous. Like, tell him who. Now, this is so stupid. It's a waste of my time, man.
Real mature, Mike. Real mature.
I'm the dumbest person in here. I promise you. Who's parsing it, Gentry? Think like an athlete. Think like a grown man. And
you can act like a man.
Joe liked that one. It was a layup, Joe.
We look forward to seeing you, Coach Vrabel.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
We'll figure it out later on in the week, Tron. I'm done writing articles for you.
Yes, kill Vrabel!
Yeah, okay. I get all that. I was just asking about scripted drives.
And then I answered what I felt like I wanted to answer your question to.
Fair enough.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Well,
it sucks.
losing. We're out there battling, Joe. I mean, battling their ass off.
Drop trowel. I'm going to stick this in your ass.
I'm not asking. I'm telling with this. Kick my ass.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
We think Mike Vrabel's the man to take us on that journey.
For the boys on three. One, two, three. For the boys!
It is that time of the day. The Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Very well done.
That was absolutely brilliant. I don't even like. Why, we don't need to talk. Let's just run that on a loop. Man, some sweet memories in there.
I forgot about his little spat with you. Of I answered the question how I wanted to answer the question, Joe. Fair enough. Fair enough.
What do you remember? What that was about?
It was a Zoom one I do know.
God, there's another one too. It was when they won at Indy in the COVID year in 2020, and I had some question about, you know, like they went for it on fourth down, like, you know, they're going for it on fourth down, and he was like, well, you know, it's like we're not trying to get the punter code and we're running fake. He let out all, remember this? He let out all his frustration of all the stuff we'd been clowning
about.
Because
you guys are morons on the radio talking about how I got the punter killed.
Oh, my God. And some of the
number one listener, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. So my point here, I mean, I can't follow that up, but my whole thing here is pretty simple. Like, it's time to start hating Mike Vrabel, okay? It is Vrabel Hate Week. It's Friday morning at 7:50 a.m. I don't care. I understand, Titans fans. You're mad at your not very good owner. I understand, okay? And so there's this impulse of, yeah, Vrabel, come in here. Screw that, man. Screw Mike Vrabel. You should be hating Mike Vrabel. Let's all hate Mike Vrabel together. I want you right now to call and text with your biggest rips on Mike Vrabel. Did you know that Mike Vrabel, when he was an assistant coach at Ohio State, they played Michigan, and he went up and he headbutted a Ohio State player who had his helmet on before the game, and he split his own head open, and he had to stand there with a towel draped around his head for the whole game, like, come on, guys, trying to coach the game. He looked worse than Jeremy Pruitt with his Sherpa outfit with blood screaming on his – I mean, this is Mike Vrabel, this great, brilliant, wonderful Mike Vrabel. I have friends who cover Ohio State, and when he was like a freshman or sophomore, this reporter friend of mine went up and tried to, and this is like the nicest guy in the world, went up to try to just like introduce himself to Mike Vrabel's family.
Yeah.
Vrabel came out like, again, this is like Vrabel at 19. Get the fart out of here, bro! Like trying to like fight the reporters, trying to talk to his family. I mean, get out of here. Do we forget?
Everything you're saying right now, Titans fans are like, yes, a football coach. Awesome.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, do you remember the four-game lead his team had with seven games to play?
I do remember that.
In 2022, and they blew it? This is one of the biggest divisional collapses in the history of the league? Do you remember the 6-11 season that followed that up? That's 6-18 in his last 24. Oh, Vince Lombardi! Incarnated! Come on, give me some Vrabel hate. Guy's out here smoking darts thinking he runs the world. Screw that, man. What an a-hole. Let's go.
I mean, he really did almost get Brett Kern killed one time. He really did. He's like, wow, we're going to run a fake punt with Brett Kern, and he's going to be one-on-one with Devin White. We'll see how that goes. By the way, Devin White just this past week almost killed Cam Ward. That's Cam Ward.
Yeah.
That's talking about Brett Kern.
That's Devin White darn near a decade older.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we really thought Devin White was going to go that way. No, he just stood there and said, wow. I think I'm going to destroy your punter
still
now.
Even though they've changed the field since then, there's still an outline of Brett Kern's body in the field out there. He got hit so hard by Devin White. Good coaching, Vrabes.
Yeah, seriously. See, I'm still getting this love Vrabel. Okay, Eric.
Problem is, though, he knew the rules.
That is true. Step up from what happened last time. He did know the rules. I mean, he's a pretty good coach, but, like, again – can you be a great coach if you've never been in the Super Bowl?
I think there's a time period that is you know, if you're really, really early in your career, yes. But if you're established,
but then why would you? How could you be great if it's that early in your career?
Well, I don't know. Right? Like Sean McVay, I think everybody realized was great pretty early.
But
right?
He went to the Super Bowl in like his third year.
Exactly. But okay. Like, by the time year two rolled around, it was like everybody that had been in the same room as Sean McVay was getting a job because everybody thought he was great.
That's true. But I still think it's like, show me a Super Bowl. Okay, he went to the Super Bowl. Eric does say Vrabel is a complete asshat. Never been a fan. He's a former Pat Nola from Eric is a Bills fan.
So. I can't wait until he sees this segment.
Oh, he's listening right now.
Well, the future with Vrabel here, you do wonder if he would have gotten the personnel power he wanted. Is that the best direction moving forward for the team and the franchise? You know, what is he going to be like, you know, as maybe more of a personnel guy in New England?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. Alex from Montreal says Mike Vrabel has bad posture. There you go.
Yes,
you're bending down, smoking your cigarettes. You know, oh, come over here, let's get in a blocking drill. Get out of here with that garbage. Cosmo says, I swear, when Mike Vrabel headbutted that guy that somebody was a Patriots player before a big game. I mean, it probably has happened multiple times. You know, I have no idea, but the Ohio State one was that he's a coach. He's coaching kids. He's like, come here, kid, with your helmet on. Let's headbutt each other. His wife made fun of him, too. It was very funny. Robert says it's personal for Joe. It's not personal. I just think it's time for – I mean, we have not – this should have been Vrabel Hate Week, but the problem is that the Titans fired Brian Callahan, so we're talking about that all week.
I mean, it's not personal. We happen to actually kind of like
Vrabel. I enjoy Vrabel. I enjoy him very much, but I
also – we're also not kidding. He's the number one listener of the Robbie and Rex Road program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question. And he – he deserves to be made fun of. He absolutely deserves to be made fun of. This texter says, we aren't turning on Vrabel. Your PSYOP isn't working. Pats by 50.
Well, at least you tried. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport with us next to look ahead at that matchup between the Titans and the Patriots. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.